Buffalo Creek on my birthday. Turn your Bibles, if you would, tonight to Psalm chapter 23. Tonight we're going to study, or at least begin the study, of the work of the Holy Spirit in assurance. Psalm 23, and this is, of course, one of the most remarkable passages in all of Scripture. But I want you to notice the assurance that he had, and it goes all through here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because I have God as my guide and my shepherd, I know every need will be provided. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He feeds me. He leads me. He calms me. He strengthens me. And these are all aspects of assurance. He restoreth my soul. When I need grace in time of need, He restores me. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What a glorious truth that the one that we follow and the God who dwells in us always leads us in righteousness. He will never lead us into sin. Right, look at this assurance, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Going through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. This is a great verse in the midst of all the sickness that's going around. We need not fear. God's going to accomplish His will. He's going to do His work. We rest in Him. We depend upon Him. We rely upon Him. And you say, but preacher, what if I get this disease? It's the will of God. And He'll give you the grace to deal with it. And I can guarantee you, He'll deliver you from it. He will give you grace to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and He'll either heal you by way of physical deliverance, or He'll heal you for good by taking you and delivering you to glory. But you can be sure of this. If you know the Lord, He's going to go with you wherever you go. And that's why you need not fear. Because He's with you. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Even when there is contention and hostility and warfare and hatred all around us, He won't allow His children to go begging bread. He'll still provide a table in the wilderness. Thou anointest my head with oil. He gives us the anointing of His Spirit. He gives us comfort. He says, my cup runneth over. When I prayed tonight and I began to just think about all the things that God provided for me today, my cup began to run over. And we ought to think like that every day. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a statement of complete and absolute assurance. In this life and in the life to come, the great God who chose me before the world began, who redeemed me by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, who indwells me by the power of the Holy Spirit, He's with me at all times. Goodness and mercy will be with me all through this life, and I'm going to be with the Lord forever. Now, you can't get any better than that. That is the fullness of assurance when you belong to the Lord. Now, I believe that the Lord wants His people to enjoy the assurance of salvation. During His earthly ministry, our Lord assured with His own lips that those who believed in Him would be with Him forever. What a promise John 14, verses 1 through 3 are for the believer. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He wants us to have assurance that we're going to be with Him through the eternal ages. He ascended to heaven, and our Savior, just as He promised in John 16, He ascended to heaven to act as our great high priest. But when He ascended, He sent His Spirit as another comforter for His people. The Holy Spirit now has a very definite work in producing assurance of salvation. Now, I've said this many times. It's not the preacher's job to give you assurance of salvation. It's the work of God's Spirit as He teaches you the Word of God. And as He molds you and shapes you and sanctifies you, that's how you gain assurance of salvation. That's how you know that you belong to the Lord. Now, before we really enter into the guts of the message, if you will, the Spirit's work in assurance, I think tonight we're going to review some basic truths regarding the doctrine of assurance. And a lot of people never have studied this. The first thing I want to establish is there is a definite possibility of assurance. This is something that you and I can live in on a daily basis. You see, God's people have experienced assurance in the past. We have examples of it. We read Psalm 23, where David gives you an entire psalm, the shepherd's psalm, declaring the assurance that he has in the Lord. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. We'll look at a few verses tonight. Here is Paul the Apostle declaring his assurance. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." He said, "I know this. I have assurance of it." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them." That's a key. One of the ways that you gain assurance is through the promises of God, believing them, applying them, living them out. They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Here's one of my favorites. You know which one it is, Josh? Philippians chapter 2, or chapter 1. I just If he would have said, yeah, I know which one, and would have answered it, I would have shouted like a Pentecostal. But look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. This is the essence of real assurance. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Either way, I belong to the Lord, and I'm going to be with the Lord. To live for Him is a wonderful proposition. To die is even better, because I'll be in His presence without sin for all eternity. And that's the assurance that he had. So the first point about the possibility of having assurance is it's something that we find recorded in Scripture where people have actually had assurance of their eternal salvation. God's Word asserts that we can have assurance. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. You see, there are people that teach that you can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. And there's no assurance there. You know why? Because that's all based on works. If you're trusting in yourself, you have no assurance. If you're trusting in your religion or your goodness or your abilities or your spirituality, none of that works. Our assurance comes from our relationship to God alone. And look what this says in 1 John 5 and verse 13 or verse 12. Let's go ahead and read verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That is where all assurance, where the summation of it is. Life in the Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. Right now. You don't have to die to get it. We got it right now. The very moment you believe the gospel of the grace of God, when you believe that Christ died for you, was buried for you, rose again for you, that very moment you were given the gift of eternal life, you're going to live forever with the Lord. Bask in that. Glory in that. Rejoice in that. Because you have eternal life in the Son. And he says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Yes, you can have assurance by believing on the name of the Son of God. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 14. Really, the whole book of 1 John gives you some marks, some characteristics of assurance. 1 John 3, 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, that's an amazing thing. I'll never forget when the Lord saved me. How that immediately, I had a real affection for God's people that was never there before. But because we're saved by the Lord Jesus and indwelt by the same Spirit, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, there is a bond of love that exists in God's children that gives us assurance. God commands us to seek assurance. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. very similar passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. You know, I believe that there's a whole lot of people who are religious, who go to church sometimes, who may go through some religious exercises, who really don't know the Lord at all. And they have no assurance, and it doesn't even bother them. It would bother me. But look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Is Christ in you? Is Christ the hope of glory? Does the Spirit of Christ dwell in you? Does His Word dwell in you? Does His love dwell in you? Does His joy dwell in you? You know what? That's how you make your calling and election sure. If these things are in you, then you can be assured you're saved, that you belong to the Lord. And of course, God's grace is the basis of assurance. Look over at Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Romans 4 and verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the faith, who is the father of us all. You see, those, now think about this, there are people who make salvation to depend in part upon their own works, their own observance of religious ceremonies and standards. But those folks can never preach about security or assurance in Christ because they have none. Even their preachers don't have it. Because if you think that somehow you can lose your salvation by what you do or don't do, your faith is entirely misplaced. So that's illustrating all the groups that teach that man has to either help earn or keep his salvation. You're not up to it. It's all of grace and it's all of God. The assurance of salvation is necessary to both the joy and the service of the saint of God. Now the basis of our rejoicing is the certainty of our salvation. That's Jesus said when the disciples came back and they were happy and rejoicing that they had cast out devils. He said, don't rejoice in that. Rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you are the objects of eternal covenant love. Rejoice that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Rejoice that you're redeemed by that Lamb, that sacrifice. That's the source of your rejoicing. It's all in Christ. It's all in what He did, not in what you do. Christian service, likewise, should never be motivated by fear of losing salvation, but rather by assurance and the work of the Spirit in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says this, for we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Full assurance may not be possessed by every saint, nor do any of us enjoy it to its fullest at all times. But every one of us ought to make our calling and election sure. You see, we don't serve God as trembling servants, but as rejoicing children. Now, this is a good statement. This question is a good one. It's thoughtful. And has to do with the basis of our assurance. Is assurance based on God's Word or on our experience? The question is kind of deceiving because it plays off Christian experience against the Bible. You see, there's an element of truth in both those statements in that question. While it is a mistake to base our assurance upon experiences that have no biblical basis, yet it will be, as we proceed through this study, it'll become evident that our Christian experience does play a part in our assurance. Think about the times when you have responded to God's command, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And you went directly to the throne of grace and you began to pray in earnest about someone or something or some need. And you've seen God's hand orchestrate everything that brings about an answer to that prayer. Well, you're praying according to the will of God, according to the promise of God, and then you're experiencing the power of God. And when that happens, when those things come together, it serves to encourage and enhance your assurance. People have been told to just take it by faith, and yet have never experienced a work of grace, and will find themselves deceived at last. So to reject scriptural teachings concerning the Christian's experience as it relates to assurance is not faith in, but rather ignorance of God's Word. So we need to understand that God's Word is the basis of our faith, and that His Word is the judge of our experience. You see, you know that your experience is right when it lines up with the Word of God. When it lines up with something clearly revealed in the Word of God. Answered prayer, a whole lot of things. So that, let us always remember that our experience is important, but it has to be backed up with the Word of God. Next week, we're going to get on the work of the Spirit in assurance. All right.